Blog Talk Radio.
4Network, can you believe it? Sunday, July the 25th, 2010, and here we are again, you and me, and oh, just a couple of thousand of my friends and associates. I'm Rick McCann. I'm going to be your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, and we've got a lot of great things happening here. We just want to get right to the show. Of course, we welcome you if you're a first timer. If you're an old timer, well, we welcome you as well. As you know, we are going to be talking tonight exclusively and in depth, part three, about liability, culpability, and responsibility. We also have some great case law that has come out of the courts dealing with private security companies that we're going to share with you that gives you some great examples of how you can become responsible whether you know it or not. We've had kind of a rough week. In the law enforcement community, we've had a number of law enforcement officers killed, two private security officers in the last 8 days also killed in the line of duty, and it's been a rough week. We're going to share that news with you shortly. If you're joining us live tonight on the Private Officer Talk Radio, we want to let you know about a brand new feature that we have just put up today. This is the chat room exclusively for us. Those of you listening live and want to participate via the chat room, you can. All you got to do is log in, and you can direct your comments, questions, or suggestions directly to me rather than emailing us while we're on the air. I think this is a great feature. I know that several of you have already began using it. It's only been online probably 2 minutes, and we've already got a number of people logging in, so that's great news. But the chat room will be the place where you're going to go and be able to communicate with us while we're live on the radio wherever we're broadcasting from. And as we spoke of recently, we are broadcasting from many locations the rest of this year, and it could actually be your backyard, it could be your office, it could be your city. Just invite us in. And if you're close to the beach or Krispy Kreme, we're going to be there. You can count on that. No, really, we're going to be all over the place, broadcasting as we are right now. So, you know, if you're interested in having us come to your neck of the woods, putting on a training seminar, doing some networking, some recruiting, and broadcasting live, we will be happy to do that. But tonight, while we're on the air, if you want to log in and participate, you can definitely do that. You can definitely send me questions, and I'll be glad to answer them here live on the air. Also, I want to make one quick note in talking about this new tool that we have. I will answer your questions and communicate with you while we're on the radio until we reach that very important segment in the program called the subject, the training time. And tonight, of course, we know we're training about civil liability. So when we hit that time, that segment, when we're in the training segment, we will not be communicating with you in the chat room or via emails, and that's just kind of a standard practice here. But tonight we're broadcasting live from one of our studios, and we're glad, very glad, that we've made it through the day. off the record, or at least here in the sun, it was 103 degrees, actual temperature, 103 degrees at the airport. The official temperature, 98.8. Heat index got to about 113, 114, and even right now, it's in the high upper 90s. It's just that time of the year. We've really, really been hit with some high temperatures, some hot weather. Already, you know, several very serious storms have hit the Gulf. One was a hurricane. This past one, Bonnie kind of fizzled out, but you can be sure that others will be trailing her, and it's just that time of year when severe weather is moving our way. So wherever you are, if it's hot, humid, muggy, and just miserable like it has been here for the last week, I hope that you've taken refuge someplace cool, eaten a lot of ice cream, drank some cold iced tea. You thought I was going to say something else. And really just been able to hide from the sun, because it really has been pretty hot. Tonight, while we're on the air, you can also certainly email any questions if you have not logged into our new chat room. If you want to email us, you can certainly do that. Go online and email us right now at email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know how you enjoy the radio. We have a radio program. We have lots and lots of listeners and lots of messages that constantly are coming in, and we appreciate all of them. If you have any suggestions, of course, we're always listening. If you want to tell us about a training event, something that's happening in your area, you want us to broadcast it to our listeners, as always, we're willing to do that. We'll happily do it for you. And, of course, there'll be just a slight – no, there won't be any fee. It's free, F-R-E-E. Just let us know, email, or – sign on to the chat room, and we'll be glad to broadcast it out. Yes to Joe. Joe wants to know. The chat room now has a background of a beach, and he wants to know if I'm at the beach. Well, yes, I am actually at the beach in my mind. No, not at the beach this weekend, but we hope to get back to the beach in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, we'll be looking at the beach in the background, at the chat room, and the pictures we have on the wall, and even our screensaver is the beach. So obviously you know where my heart's at. We also want to thank a number of you who have kept us abreast of a number of things happening in your community this week. We've had a number of heads up on news and officer injuries, and we want to thank Tony in Newcastle. We want to thank George Conan, and we want to thank Steve. He is in Fort Worth. Matt in Dallas. And I know that there was a number of others of you who gave us heads up on a number of different things. We want to say thank you. Thank you to our network. We appreciate all that you do. Thanks for keeping us abreast, even though we try to stay on top of stuff, but there's just so much going on that we're bound to miss something. There is a lot of things going on. You may or may not have noticed, but we do have our new website up and running. It has been launched. Of course, there's going to be some, you know, little things that have to be corrected, some tweaks, as they say, that has to be fixed, maybe some broken links. We've checked it out. It looks pretty good. We're updating. We've got some more pages, more product, more information to add, but at least the basic skeleton and actually more than that, a considerable amount of our website is up. Please don't go to it right now. I was going to wait until the end of the show, but, you know, we're all big boys and girls, so I told you now. But I hope that doesn't distract you from our program tonight, because we've got a great segment in part 3 of our training. But our website is up. feel free to send us an email at any time at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com, and let us know what you think. We've got a lot of stuff there, and this is going to be a combination, or it is a combination, of our digital magazine format and our website. You will have new content constantly there on the front page and throughout the website. So visit often, because there'll be new stuff there frequently. But it is up and running. So thank you to the team that helped put that together. Thanks for your long hours and hard work. And I do appreciate it, and so does the rest of the staff and the company. If at any time you want to contact us, well, you know, as I say each program, there's tons and tons of ways to contact us. Of course, privateofficer.com is your main resource for anything and everything security, www.privateofficer.com. You can also go to Facebook. We are really getting involved with Facebook, so Facebook.com/privateofficer.com if you are one of those Facebook people. Twitter.com/privateofficer. We use that every day because our news blog is linked directly to Twitter. So every time that there's an update in the news, guess what? You get a tweet. Tweet, tweet. And they give you a little synopsis, a little headline of the news that's breaking. You can also go to our own forums, privateofficer.ning. privateofficer.ning. We've got a lot of great stuff there. In fact, we've loaded up, I know the office in the past week or two has loaded up a lot of videos there, all sorts of training videos, funny videos, and things you just don't want to miss. So go to our forum. You can get to it now from the main site, www.privateofficer.com. You can click right there on the front page, the forum. It'll take you right to the site. You can also follow our news every day, which is updated numerous times throughout the day, at privateofficernews.wordpress.com. www.privateofficernews.wordpress.com. And there's a lot of great news that is consistently and constantly loaded there. I'm worn out already. As I stated at the top of the radio program, tonight's part three segment is liability, culpability, responsibility. Part three tonight. Don't miss it. Stay here. I know you're tempted to leave and check out the new website. I know you're tempted to go see all the great stuff, but don't do it. Don't you dare. No. You will be penalized. There'll be plenty of time, I promise, for you to check it out later. Someone has asked us about the chapters, and, you know, I hate to keep saying it's in the works, it's in progress, but that really is the truth. It is in progress, and we do expect that we'll have it all finalized here shortly. Just stick with us. Like I have told you a number of times, it's very difficult when you have 74 or 81 applicants, 40 cities, 32 states, 10 countries that are all want to be involved. We have different time zones, different needs, different languages, different formats even. So it's very difficult. If it were up to me, we would have been started long, long ago. But it's not. And so I have to be patient, and I'm asking for you to be patient as well. We will. I promise. We will get this underway soon. In fact, on our new website, we've got a cool page all about the chapters, what to expect, what's going to be happening, how you can be involved. Right there on the main website, you can click on chapters up at the top and go right to the page. In fact, you can even sign up if you're interested in becoming an area manager, an area chapter manager. But like I said, don't you dare go there now. Wait. We want to invite you also to become a co-host of our new, brand new, loss prevention radio show. We are very excited about this. It will be rolling out next month. If you want to be a guest co-host and you are a loss prevention manager, a store detective, asset protection manager, or agent, a district or regional, we'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Also, you know, if you want to co-host the show with me, and who doesn't? I mean, come on. You know, let's be honest. This is kind of like being with Larry King, you know, on CNN or, you know, somebody like that. He's retiring. I'm thinking about taking over his job. But if you want to co-host the program here with me, feel free to first submit a topic. Let me know. Do your research on the topic. Whatever it might be, make sure that you know what it is that you're talking about. It makes even better sense if you are a qualified trainer, security manager, or someone that's a specialist or expert in the area. But even if you're not, research your topic. Send me a request at radio@privateofficer.com. And we'll be happy to consider you and schedule you in. And you can share your training knowledge. And don't be bashful. We have a lot of great shows coming up, as a matter of fact, talking about the radio programs. Our newest next one will be about HUD Section 8. Section 8 tax deferred housing property, city and state housing authorities. If you work on any of these type of properties, if you work housing security, whether you are working at a HUD Section 8 privately owned but contracted by HUD, or a tax-deferred property, or an actual housing authority owned by the city or the county jurisdiction, this show is for you. And if you have some expertise, knowledge, if you have been working that type of security for some time, feel free to become a co-host of the program. Send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be happy to put together a show with you as a co-host. We have a lot of news, a lot of breaking news, so I want to kind of get to that because I also have a lot of information to share with you on the training segment 3 tonight. So we want to go right to the news, break away from what our normal routine is. We want to talk about tonight in Washington, Seattle, Washington, shoplifters are being told to beware. Store security agents and retailers have begun cracking down on shoplifters, both those in the big box, corporate stores, and specialty shops. Security agents, many more hidden cameras, other detection devices in and around the store, the doors, and every place else are being used to apprehend and prosecute shoplifters, according to authorities in Seattle. As in elsewhere, shoplifting really has skyrocketed in the last 3 to 5 years. Seattle retailers also want you to be aware of a new law there that allows them not only to prosecute you, but to collect civilly from you. They can sue you. For an example, a juvenile shoplifted a $20 shirt and his father paid a civil penalty of $175 to the store, and the court required the son to pay his father $100 in restitution. So beware if you're in the Seattle area, shoplifters, you're being watched. In Great Falls, Montana, Jeremy Young used to be one of those people watching the shoplifters. He worked for loss prevention at Walmart. Unfortunately, he was terminated this job after Walmart said he was involved in a scuffle. He used excessive force on the shoplifter. The shoplifter broke away, fled, and plowed into an elderly greeter, seriously injuring that employee. Young, 32, believes that he was just trying to do his job, but Walmart says that his actions put others in danger, which was a violation of their policy. According to law enforcement, they stopped shoplifter outside the store who had stolen several clothing items. When they brought him back inside the store, he began to resist and assaulted two loss prevention agents. They were trying to defend themselves and detain the shoplifter when he broke away, injuring another employee. Walmart has been in the headlines recently for firing a number of asset protection agents for excessive use of force. Walmart spokesperson says that it's their policy that they do not physically confront shoplifters and they do not chase shoplifters off the property. Oceanside, California police there say four members of a known Los Angeles-based gang has been arrested. They were involved in a shoplifting ring. Police say that security at CVS and Oceanside apprehended the four. They suspect the four are responsible for stealing more than $100,000 in merchandise from retail drug and grocery stores and then reselling the merchandise and funneling the money into their gangs. The suspects remain in jail today. Marietta, Georgia, just outside of the Atlanta Metro here, actually it's part of the Atlanta Metro, a 25-year-old shoplifting suspect is in jail after he broke away from security at the Marietta Hospital. Police say that they brought him there after he complained of being hurt during a shoplifting arrest. But while at the hospital, Maurice Seeley broke away from security and fled. A news reporter who happened to be in the area spotted Seeley and notified police, who later captured him and brought him to the county lockup. Walmart has also announced that they've begun using RFID on their high-end merchandise and clothing. RFID is the radio frequency ID tags that will send out a transmitting signal. It is a high-tech device that alerts retailers where their merchandise is going. It's a smart tag that will follow customers and relay the information, just like GPS. A Walmart spokesperson said that these tags are the next generation barcodes, which puts the customer in control. Well, sounds to me like the store will be in control if you don't pay for the merchandise. The RFID technology has been used for a number of years in the high-end merchandise stores. Now Walmart is putting them to use in their clothing and high-end merchandise. In Puyallup, Washington, police there say two shoplifters pulled a gun and threatened to kill a loss prevention agent at the Kmart on River Road. Police say that a female stole more than $1,000 of items, and when she exited the store, loss prevention stopped her. Her boyfriend or male companion then pulled a gun and stuck it into the face of the loss prevention agent, threatening to kill him. Police are seeking a white female and a white male in their 20s or early 30s. They fled in a 1988 Honda Civic. No one was injured, but police say that a reward is being offered. In Alabama, Gaston, Alabama, police are saying that they are investigating a serious hit-and-run accident that occurred Friday night, injuring a security officer who worked for the city of Gaston. The security officer was driving a city-owned golf cart, which had been converted to a security vehicle. The vehicle had lights on it and was driving between several city buildings when a vehicle hit it from behind. The security officer was severely injured and taken to a medical center where he is still today. The fleeing suspect has not been apprehended. The security officer is in critical condition at the Gaston Regional Medical Center as of early this morning, and we will be following that story and we'll let you know the outcome. Atlanta FBI agents say that Demetrius Darnell Homer, 29, of Atlanta, Georgia, has been arrested today on federal charges of sex trafficking of three juveniles. Homer was indicted by a federal grand jury on July 13th. Homer was arraigned before the U.S. Magistrate's Office, and he is currently being detained without bond. The FBI said they began investigating Homer for trafficking in teenage sex slavery. He's suspected of holding several teens against their will. he faces a number of federal offenses and possible life in prison. In Franklin County, Kansas, the Deputy Sheriff Samuel A. Smith was killed on Friday. Authorities say that the deputy, who is 23 years of age, has only been with the department for 9 months. He was involved in an automobile accident while responding to a domestic disturbance call. His patrol vehicle left the roadway and struck a number of trees before bursting into flames, trapping the deputy inside. Police are searching for a robber who was dressed as a security guard. Sacramento, California police say it may have been a security guard. They're not sure. The uniformed officer walked into a store near the UC Davis campus. The cashier at the scrub stop said he began asking questions. He was dressed in a uniform that clearly said security guard. He then pulled a gun and robbed the cashier of more than $200 from the register. He fled. Police are still searching for him. The FBI has sent out a warning on Friday to all churches in California and beyond. It seems that a number of suspicious letters have been received by various churches asking for specific information about the church activity, number of people that worship at their church, and other detailed questions. The FBI is investigating this and are not sure if this involves a robbery or terrorist scheme. You may have heard that Ice-T, a well-known rapper from the 80s and 90s who more recently was a TV star of sorts on a police show, was arrested over the weekend for assaulting a NYPD officer after he was stopped for driving without a driver's license. He became confrontational with the officer and he was taken into custody after he hit the police officer. His name is Tracy Morrow, and he's been released pending bond. Security officers in Memphis, Tennessee, got a good catch this week when they apprehended a FedEx employee at the FedEx distribution center in Memphis. Police say that they spotted the employee throwing an item over the fence. They went to investigate and found a work glove that had a number of cell phones inside the glove. According to police, the investigators at FedEx then watched the glove, and eventually, when 26-year-old Antoine Taylor came to pick it up, they apprehended him after a short chase. He's been charged with felony theft. Charleston, West Virginia, a shopping mall, shoppers are questioning why a uniformed security officer did not stop and break up a fight outside the main entrance. According to law enforcement, the Town Center Mall, Wednesday at about 6 p.m., two persons, one apparently intoxicated, was involved in an all-out brawl, which later turned up on YouTube. According to mall management, the security officer was not an employee, and later on was tracked down by the media. He worked for another security company and was off duty but in uniform. He had no authority to intervene. In fact, it could have been a liability issue for his company. So police are not charging him with anything. South Carolina authorities say in York County, South Carolina, just over the line from Charlotte, North Carolina, if you call for an ambulance, chances are more than good that two ambulances will show up. In York County, both an ambulance from the Piedmont Medical Center and a competing ambulance from the Fort Mill Rescue Squad are both simultaneously dispatched. While it may sound like a good idea, in essence, it's not. At stake is efficiency, health dollars, and patient choice as more and more medical providers chase the same patients for their dollars. This is becoming a growing trend. North Carolina officials say that they've seen a spike in burglaries of smoke shops and other convenience stores that sell the fake marijuana known as Spice or K2. Authorities say that the potpourri-like mixture treated with synthetic chemicals and herbs found in THC is the main ingredient in marijuana. Recently, authorities in several counties have seen a spike in break-ins overnight of convenience stores and other retailers who sell this legal spice or potpourri, which has an illegal effect on it. Police Chief Daniel K. Duncan in Lake Oswego, Oregon, age 55, died of a heart attack during an arrest. On Thursday, Chief Duncan was at the Lake Oswego Municipal Court building when he heard a radio call. There was a suspect inside the building that had outstanding warrants. Several officers, including the chief, ran to capture the suspect before they fled the court. After the suspect was taken into custody, the chief went home not feeling well and succumbed overnight. Also, in the American Samoa, Detective Lieutenant Lucilla Brown died. She was a 19-year veteran of the police department. She died of multiple gunshots. They say that she was on duty at their court building. A man had been found guilty of assault and weapons charges. Apparently, he had a gun hidden that was not detected, and he opened fire on the police officer. Tazewell County, Virginia, Sheriff's Department is mourning the loss of Deputy Sheriff Sean Hess this week. 35-year-old Hess, a 7-year veteran of the Tazewell County Sheriff's Office, died in a vehicle accident while responding to back up another officer at approximately 5:30 p.m. Friday morning. Deputy Hess served the Sheriff's Department for 7 years, according to the sheriff. Also in Taylor, Michigan, police there are mourning the loss of Officer Corporal Matthew Edwards, who was shot and killed while responding to a burglary in progress at an apartment complex 6 a.m. Friday morning. 31-year-old Edwards, a 5-year veteran of the Taylor Police Department, and his partner encountered a man in the parking lot who fit the description of a suspect. When they began to speak to the man, he produced a handgun and fatally shot Corporal Edwards' partner and also Corporal Edwards. Oswego, New York, patients there at the Oswego Hospital assaulted a security officer after breaking loose in the emergency room and then stole a city ambulance Friday morning, crashing it several blocks away. Police arrested Matthew Belkius, 40, of Saratoga Springs, New York, charging him with the assault of a security officer and grand theft auto. Nashville, Tennessee, a very famous country music lounge bar made famous by many of the top country music stars of today and yesterday, is being sued after a man says he was assaulted by their security staff. David White, who's from West Virginia, was visiting Nashville's famous Honky Tonk in February. A fight ensued inside where he says he was not involved, but security restrained him and threw him outside of the bar before police arrived. He says he was injured during that process by security, and he is suing the bar and the security officers for $1.5 million in damages. This is the third lawsuit in 2 years for Tootsie's. If you're familiar with Nashville, you know Tootsie's Orchid Lounge is on Broadway, one of the most famous lounges or bars in the world. A security officer who was injured at a Jimmy Buffett concert has sued Jimmy Buffett, so there is trouble in Margaritaville. Security officer said that he was at a 2008 Jimmy Buffett concert at the Toyota Park when he was trying to keep people from dancing in the aisles. According to security officer Gary Jabowski, who was employed by the Monterey Security Consultants, he tripped over some wires that had not been tacked down properly. He's suing Jimmy Buffett as well as the Teamsters Union that was involved in the setup of the concert facilities. In Jackson, Mississippi, the Beau Rivage Casino security staff arrested Butch Brown, the state executive director of the Mississippi Department of Transportation. Security agents say that he fell asleep at a one-armed bandit. When they went to wake him up, he became disorderly at 3 a.m. in the morning. Security told him that he had to leave the property. Brown said that he wanted to go upstairs to his room. However, security said he was highly intoxicated. Law enforcement arrested Mr. Brown and charged him with public intoxication and disorderly conduct. Now, Beau Rivage spokesperson Mary Spain says it was all just a misunderstanding. The police were involved. She said the casino considers the case closed. Boynton Beach, Florida, shoplifters there pulled a knife on loss prevention and security, threatening to stab them after they were apprehended at the Kohl's store on Congress Avenue, shoplifting a number of items. Police say that Whaley and Jessica Skinner, 33, of Lake Worth, Florida, were arrested after confessing that they needed the property to sell to support their drug addiction. Palm Beach County jail records show that just hours before the shoplifting arrest, Skinner was also released from the jail on drug charges. Ms. Skinner is charged with fraud of less than $20,000, petty larceny and shoplifting. Her husband is charged with a felony robbery. Cleveland, Ohio man, 21 years of age, pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter Friday in the death of a Cleveland Heights police officer who went into a cardiac arrest while chasing him. Malcolm Bryant also pled guilty to assault of a peace officer and escape. A security officer at Mark's Discount Store called after Bryant left the store with merchandise, and he was allegedly harassing women. Police responded, and when they spotted Bryant, he gave chase. According to authorities, Thomas Patton II, a 30-year-old police officer, had a heart attack during the chase and died. Alabama, Anniston, Alabama, authorities say that two men died while they were repairing a radio tower. It seems that a vehicle ran over the guide wires while one man was 40 feet in the air, collapsing the tower, killing both men. Both police, federal authorities, and the Department of Occupational Safety and Health Administration is investigating this. This was breaking news Friday. This is really astounding to me. I just don't understand it. But LAPD and federal authorities captured a 10 most wanted parolee. Mark Rudolph Reed, 42, was wanted for murder, a double murder. When they captured him in LA, he was working as a security chief under an alias name of Will Thomas. He was the security chief for the Coliseum Shopping Center, which includes a Denny's restaurant, Starbucks, and other companies, including Goodwill and Walgreens, built by Magic Johnson and his development company. Somehow, according to authorities, Reed was able to skirt the system. His prints was never ran. He's been wanted for a number of years. He's currently being held and will be extradited to Georgia, where he's facing the murder charges. A recent study released by the Boston Globe says that government workers routinely access pornographic sites. Those with high security clearances often access the porn sites from their work computers, risking the security of the system. A number of offenders have been identified, including employees with the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and several other federal departments. A Virginia man has been arrested in Elgin, Illinois, for assaulting a security officer and others. Police say that Mortiza Nabahaba, 51, of Sterling, Virginia, was charged with four counts of aggravated battery, two counts of threatening a public official, all felonies, and several misdemeanors after he was involved in an altercation with security. Police say he was heavily intoxicated and was asked to leave the casino. He refused and began to assault security. He's being held on an undetermined amount of bail pending his court appearance. Memphis, Tennessee authorities say that a security officer who was making his last round of the day at the Southern College of Optometry spotted smoke and fire coming from a third floor of an apartment complex. At around 3 a.m., he noticed fire coming from the Dunlap apartments and began throwing rocks at the windows while a second security officer notified 911 of the fire. All residents were evacuated with minor injuries, and the fire was quickly put out. Santa Cruz authorities say that an unruly Stockton teenager who vandalized several locations was apprehended by a security officer. The 16-year-old is also responsible for vandalizing a ride at the Santa Cruz boardwalk. Security noticed the teen and gave chase. He notified police, and the teen was captured. In Greenwich, Connecticut, security at a hospital there was able to work with local authorities and apprehend Telly Colon, 34, charging him with numerous felony narcotic offenses after they got word that he was selling crack cocaine at the hospital. Investigations began both by the security and law enforcement found that he was selling the drugs from his vehicle while at the hospital. A subsequent search warrant revealed numerous other drugs at his home. He's currently being held on a $100,000 bond. A Texas mother has been arrested for double homicide and the strangulation death of her two children. Irving, Texas mother called 911 and said she killed both of her children because they were not normal. Both were autistic. She said, "I don't want them to be like that. I want normal kids." Sakia Actor, 30, was arraigned Wednesday on charge of capital murder and the death of her son, 5-year-old Zane, who had a speech impediment. According to authorities in the 911 tape, she admits to wrapping a wire around the children's necks until they turned blue. Before that, she made them drink bathroom cleaner. She's being held without bond. Oh, boy. The people that have kids these days, people in the world. In George County, Mississippi, the sheriff there was killed this week on Wednesday while trying to assist another agency. Gary Welford, the sheriff of George County, Mississippi, was putting out strips when he was struck by a vehicle. Police were chasing several suspects wanted for narcotic charges. He was putting out spike strips when the vehicle hit him. According to authorities, Sheriff Welford was a 7-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department, and before that, he spent 30 years in law enforcement at the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks. Also, another officer down report. This one is out of Warren County, Mississippi. 38-year-old Deputy Sheriff David Lambert, a 15-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department, was killed in an automobile accident. He was responding to back up another deputy. He swerved to avoid a vehicle who had entered the intersection. His patrol car overturned, causing him to suffer severe injuries. He later succumbed to those. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Atlanta police say that they're using social network to track gang members. They've become hip. Gang members used to carry cell phones, beepers, from the street corner. Now they recruit high tech on the internet. Police are trolling social networks looking for the gangs. So far, it's allowed them to make numerous arrests. Nashville, Tennessee police said that they've apprehended a man after he was involved in a shooting in April that left several people injured, including security. 21-year-old Dominic Lyons was taken into custody by the U.S. Marshals Task Force. They located him hiding at a residence. Apparently, he tried to enter a nightclub but was denied access by security because he failed to meet the dress code. He became angry, retrieved a firearm from his vehicle, began shooting into the nightclub, injuring three people, including a security officer. He's currently being held without bond. Gary, Indiana, a man there has been convicted in the murder of a security officer working at a Hammett bar. J.B. Whitlow, Jr., 28, was convicted of murdering 40-year-old Eric Lowe of Gary, Indiana, after he ejected a group of men who had been causing trouble at the McTavern's bar. According to authorities, Whitlow left into the parking lot, returned firing numerous shots, fatally striking and killing Lowe. Whitlow was captured by the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force in Evansville, Indiana, in March 2009. Long Island, New York, you may have heard about this one. A 14-year-old killed his entire family, splitting their throats with the razors, then set his house on fire and killed himself. 14-year-old C.J. Jones cut the throats of two of his younger siblings, his mother, and then himself after setting the home on fire. Police do not believe he was a monster, just a confused and mixed up child crying out for help. And that wraps up the news for tonight. We do have a security officer death. This one was reported in Las Vegas on Friday. We're still waiting to confirm the identity of the security officer. According to reports, he was shot in or around a bank. We're not sure of the circumstances, and as soon as we find out, we will let you know. As always, we have a lot of news. That's one thing that there's never a shortage of. There's news every day and around the clock. We could actually staff three or four news associates to monitor the news and still probably wouldn't have enough staff. What do you think about the news? Is it important to you? Is it enlightening to you? Does it matter to you? We have a lot of people who aren't really too thrilled about the news segment of the program, to be honest with you, and we'd like to hear it from you. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com or jump on in the chat room if you'd like. In fact, let me look over here right now and see if we got anybody. Okay, we got some people there. Let's see what's going on. You can jump on the chat room if you're listening live right now. We have the chat room is open. If you'd like to participate, you are free to do so. Getting back to our news and our program, we've told you about the new training CD series. We both have the boot camp series, which is a very high intense A to Z type security training. Everything that you could think of is involved there. We've got about 8 hours, I believe, 9 hours, 10 hours, I don't know. A lot of hours of training there. You can get those. They're available on the web at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the training division. Also, we have brand new seminar and topic CDs. Also, you can buy those individually. Free shipping right now. You can get those also at privateofficer.com training division. And we're going to make a lot of other high-end, high-quality training available to you on video and audio. Just keep checking the site. We have We have a lot of emails this week to share with you. I'm going to bypass many of them, and I do apologize. Let me first get to happy birthday, Dan Holland in Jackson, Mississippi, 37. He works for a little security company called Securitas. You know, you may have heard them. They're kind of small. Happy birthday, Dan. Brett in Lowell, Massachusetts, which is near Boston, is 42, and he is a detective. I don't know if he's a police detective, a loss prevention detective, a private detective. He didn't say. Amy Newbright in Ann Arbor, Michigan, happy birthday to you. She did not say how old she is, and I sure don't want to estimate, guesstimate, and embarrass myself, but happy birthday to you. Wayne Kemper, he is 71 years old, a security officer in Fullerton, California, and an associate member. Happy birthday, Mr. Kemper, to you. And Mike Stansworth in Jacksonville, Florida, happy birthday to you also. We hope that you all have had a great birthday. Tommy Singer says he enjoys the program more each time he listens. The topics have been more than informative, and the training has been top quality. Thank you very much, Tommy. Martin Cole said he heard about Private Officer from one of his friends, and he took a look, liked what he saw, and he has listened to the radio program for the first time and really enjoyed it. We invite you to go back and listen to all of the podcasts. They are available, every radio program that we've ever done, which has been about 50 now, I believe. They are all available. Stewart is in Anchorage, Alaska. He says, thanks for putting together the company, Private Officer Company, and doing what you do for security. You're welcome, and thank you for joining us, and thank you for being part of the association. We have friends, associates, and acquaintances all over the world, so it's great that we get to share some of this good stuff with them. Monty in Kansas says, keep up the good work. Thank you, Monty, and we hope that you continue listening. Larry Wright is in Louisville, Kentucky. Loves the radio show. He'll be listening for the upcoming new program. Be joining the association soon. Thank you, Larry. Want to remind you, it's not too late to get involved in the Security in Motion book. Be a contributor. You'll become an instant author, a honest-to-goodness, real instant author. Send us an incident or a situation that you've been involved in your security career. Could be funny. Could be stupid. It could be serious. You could maybe some of you apprehended. Whatever it might be, 200-plus words. The book will be published this year and available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and several other sites. All proceeds will go to the Memorial Fund, which we are trying to build up. And also, you will get copies of the book. You'll get recognition in the book as the author and so much more. So send that to us at adminassistprivateofficer.com. Want to remind you also, this is very, very important. Make sure to mark your calendars. Make sure to tell your coworkers. Make sure to just get up on the roof and scream it as loud as you can. September 19 through the 25th is our second annual Private Officer Memorial Week. Now, we've had to change the title in some areas to Security Officer, which is okay because some people, how do we say this? Big wigs, politician type people don't like the words Private Officer. Sounds too much like Police Officer. So, we've changed it to Security Officer Memorial Week in some areas. So it doesn't matter. Security Officer, Private Officer, whatever. September 19th through the 25th, mark the calendar. You can hold a ceremony in your area, 15, 20 minutes, 5 minutes. We'll tell you and show you how to do it. Spread the word. You can also contact your mayor, your governor. Have them issue you a proclamation proclaiming the week of September 19th through the 25th, the Private Security Officer Memorial Week. You need more information? Send us an email, adminassist@privateofficer.com. Very quickly, if you'd like to call in the radio show, you can do it. Call me right now. I'll open the lines for just a few minutes before we go to our training segment. Area code 1-347-426-3807. Again, that number, area code 1-347-426-3807. You can also jump online at the chat room, and you can join the conversation, ask me any questions. I'll be happy to answer them for you. Send me a chat in the chat room or call me live. Let me see. I'm going to try this out right now and see if they respond. Let's see if this thing is working. Hey, I don't know. You know, it's brand new. We just launched this chat room today. I'm not even sure if it works. Okay, we're going to move on to our last segment in the show. That's our training segment. This is a very important segment, very important topic, and we hope that you've enjoyed part one and part two. But this is our wrap-up. Part three, liability, culpability, responsibility. Extremely important that you understand the difference between criminal and civil law, because there's a big difference. It doesn't matter if you have no money. It doesn't matter if you have no assets. It doesn't matter if you are as poor can be. As my folks used to say, we barely have two nickels to rub together. Well, that's great, but that doesn't mean that will be your situation forever. Tonight, we really need to look at the civil court process and how it affects anyone working in the security industry, the law enforcement industry. We're going to explain culpability a little bit further, a little bit more in depth to you. We're going to explain contributory negligence. Write this down, because this is something you will become involved in. Contributory negligence. What does it mean? How does it affect me? How does it affect you? We want you to understand all of the real inner workings of the civil court and all of the inner workings of the civil court procedures, which are much different than criminal court. I'm going to give you some actual case, actual information, actual cases. This is called case law, actual case law of four situations where security personnel have been sued, their company's been sued, and a judgment against them was awarded. Some of these are contributory negligence. Some of these was partially the responsibility of the security company and the security officer. Some of these were 100% the security officer's fault. He was culpable, responsible, 100%. I'm going to share with you a couple of glossary words. If you want to write these down, get out a pen and take notes. This would be the time. I don't want to teach you a lot about the law, but these are some glossary words that you're going to be able to know what they mean, because you're going to hear them frequently if you stay around security any length of time. Point of law. Many times in the legal profession, you hear attorneys and others say, it's a point of law. And all that that means is that it is a mark in the law. It's something that they can point to. It's a case or another legal standing that they can point to and say, here's the proof, here's the document, here's what happened. Point of law. Not a point of interest. Not point your finger. Point of law. Case law. We're going to give you case law tonight. Every civil litigator, no matter if they are a civil litigator for personal injury, whether they're a civil litigator for employment law, whether they're a civil litigator for wrongful deaths, product malfunctions, whatever they're litigating, attorneys use case law. I know. As a paralegal, years gone by, I've looked it up. I put it together for them. I understand it. Case law is previous cases nationwide that have similar facts as the case that they are currently compiling, and they're looking for the outcome in the trial. For instance, you know, well, you know, guy fell, he was drunk, he beat up his girlfriend, jumped out the window, and now he's being sued for the assault. Well, there's case law about domestic violence, destruction of property. You begin to look for other cases. In the old days, you spent hours and sometimes days and weeks looking through books compiled of all the case laws in various court districts. Today, you hop on the internet and you go to several particular sites, specific sites geared for case law review, and you got type in the words or associate words or phrases, and in minutes, seconds, pop up 1, 2, 3, 5, just like searching anything else in your browser, case laws begin to pop up. Case laws will let you know sometimes what to expect as the outcome. Sometimes you can use case law to refer in your own prosecution, your own defense. You can use case law to say, look, judge, in Brown versus Green, the court ruled that Green had a right to smash out the window to escape because he was in imminent danger. They can use case law to show why the defendant should be given the same consideration. Case law is valuable, but without going too much into it, I don't want to give you a big law seminar, so we'll move on. Actionable cause or cause of action. In the law, a cause of action is a claim. It says what the facts are and justifies a right to sue to obtain money, property, or the enforcement of a right against another party. That's a cause of action. I fell on the floor at a department store because they failed to mop up the floor after there was a spillage, after something spilled. I have a cause of action. Tort law. I'm sure that you've heard plenty about tort law during the last presidential process because it was mentioned time and time again. We need tort reform, tort reform. Everybody says it, but nobody does it. Tort reform is a French word meaning wrong. Tort is non-criminal wrongdoing, basically a civil process, just like we're talking about the civil court, tort law, anything that has to do with the civil court process, lawsuits. Obviously, no matter how old you are, no matter your educational background, no matter what position you hold, unless you lived under a rock in a cave, you've heard the word lawsuit. You may have even, unfortunately, been a party to it. You may have been sued, and definitely, you know, you don't want to be, but it is a fact of life. A lawsuit basically is just a civil action brought against you by a person who claims damages against you, whether it be because you failed to pay a bill, whether you purposely or not purposely injured someone, you had a traffic accident, a car wreck, whether or not you were involved in some other situation where something or someone was damaged and now they're filing a lawsuit against you. I want you to understand right now, this is very important, very important. A lawsuit or the threat of a lawsuit is not a criminal action. Many bill collectors, many attorneys who work in the collection industry, many investigative type who work in the collection recovery industry, including those in the repo business, will threaten you with criminal charges. Let me tell you right now, if you hear nothing else tonight, that is not the case. Nothing civil constitutes a criminal charge. Let me say it again. Nothing civil, a lawsuit, violating, not paying your bill, violating your contract, it is not a criminal case. Bill collectors will tell you on the phone, well, if you don't pay this bill tonight, we'll have a warrant out for you. The only warrant that can be possibly issued in some states, they call it a civil warrant instead of a lawsuit or a claim. So listen carefully. If you have past due debt and bill collectors or others have threatened you criminally, they're blowing smoke. There's no criminal action for a civil violation, only a lawsuit. You've heard the word judgment used, and basically a judgment is the order by the court after a decision has been made as to the obligation of the person who has won the court's decision. If you have been sued and the judge finds for the plaintiff, they then have a judgment against you. Usually a judgment means recovery of money or property. Burden of proof. You've heard burden of proof in every court case, every TV show. Burden of proof is the obligation of the party bringing the dispute against you to prove their case. Even though in the civil court process, the burden of proof is much, much less than in a criminal court, they still have to meet their burden of proof. They have to at least, by a preponderance of the evidence, tip the scale enough in their favor for the judge to award them the judgment against you. Damages. In a civil matter, damages just means the award of money to be paid to compensate for the loss or injury. That's all that means. Liens. Liens have several different meanings, but very and you know, short term, what liens means is a secured method of securing or recovering damages against you. And we'll get more into that later on in the program, later on in this segment. Execution of judgment. Basically, when a judgment is issued against you by a court, in order for them to secure the money from you if you don't voluntarily pay, they have to get an execution of judgment or a writ from the court that allows them to access your banking account, your finances, to come and get your vehicle or other property to satisfy their judgment against you. For instance, if you owe $5,000 on a judgment because you failed to pay your rent at the apartment complex and moved out without paying, and they got a judgment against you, they could get a writ of execution, and they could empty out your bank accounts. Yes, it's legal. They can take your savings account, your checking account, and any other financial asset necessary to satisfy their judgment. If that means having your car hauled away while you're asleep, that's legal as long as they have a writ of execution. And usually it's the sheriff's department or the constable who serves that. But we'll go more into that later on as well. Of course, many of you are aware of the execution against your wages. You can also have your wages garnished once a judgment has been issued. An execution against wages is written up by the court and sent to your employer. Under the law, only a percentage, usually about 22% of your gross wages, can be garnished. That may have changed. Don't hold me to it. There are many other words that is very important that you need to understand. Words like discovery, settlements. I do want to tell you about arbitration. In some cases, you don't have the option to sue the person. In some cases, especially when it has to do with employers, many times as a condition of your employment, as a condition of a contract that you may be signing, possibly with your landlord, it may say in there arbitration. Arbitration means that you agree to give up your rights. You agree not to file a lawsuit, not to be before a judge, but instead you agree to the form of an alternate dispute resolution known as arbitration. Basically, this means that anybody, Joe, Smo, Jerry Lee, or whoever, that the other half of this contract or the employer picks to arbitrate can arbitrate this situation, this problem. And anything that they say will be as binding as a court because you agreed and signed off on it in writing. Yeah, that's pretty scary, actually. It really is. I want to tell you about some case law that I've looked up, and I want to explain to you, it's very important that you understand there are consequences for everything that we do, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, most times, as I stated before, it's true. When someone files a lawsuit, they always go for the deep pockets. They always go for the company or the person who has the most money. Obviously, if they have a choice between your employer or you, they're going to go for the employer because the employer usually, not always, especially with smaller security companies, the employer usually has liability insurance, which is a insurance that they have to cover them for false arrest or damages or other lawsuit or litigation or other civil situations. But many small companies don't have it. Many mid-sized companies don't have it. Where does that leave you? Where is that going to leave you? Well, in most cases where they would normally sue your employer, now they're going to sue you. Why? Whenever a situation happens, most people will sue everyone they can. The employer, the employees, the client, the contractor, anybody who's involved. Why? Why is that? They're not all involved. They're not all responsible. Are they? This gives them a chance to bring as many people into it and see, you know, at that point, who's willing to pay up? Who's willing to settle before the court trial? Who's willing to ante up? Who's got the insurance? Who's got the money? So if they sue the security company and the security company is broke, and they name the client as well, and the client is a large corporation, and they carry the necessary liability insurance, or they have the funds to settle quickly out of court, guess what? They're going to him. They're going to that client to collect. Sometimes the client will pay, and sometimes they will not because they don't feel they were negligent or obligated. And so now you have multiple lawsuits because now the security company is suing the client, or the client is suing the security company, and the person injured or falsely arrested is suing everybody. And sometimes it gets to become a big fiasco. Let me share with you a couple of case laws. Case law that involves you, the security person. I've shared several of these in the past. A security officer working at a hospital. A contract security officer becomes friendly with employees. That's an everyday thing. It happens. The hospital has a new building under construction. The frame is up. The walls are up. The rooms have been constructed. It's enclosed. It's almost in what's called punched out stage. Semi almost ready to move into. Not quite. It's maybe a few weeks or months before they move in, but it's, you know, it's there. The security officer, Daryl, finds out that some employees, or at least several employees, are having sex in that area of the hospital. The door leading to that area under construction is supposed to be locked. He knows it. It's part of his post orders, part of the directives. He knows it. He realizes it. But being a nice guy, and you know what I said about being a nice guy, you always finish last. Being a nice guy, he thinks it's funny that several employees are having sex in that area under construction, so he leaves the doors unlocked on his days. Other security officers lock them. The security manager locks them. But on the days that he works, the shift that he's there, oh no. That door's unlocked. Anybody and everybody has access to that area under construction. Even though it's off limits, all the employees know it's off limits. It's marked off limits. Do not enter. And the security officer has been instructed to keep the door locked. No, I can't do that. That's my buddies now. That's my friends. They're having fun over there. Wish it was me. I'm not going to lock up the door. So he doesn't. On the days that he's on duty, he leaves it open. And as things will sometimes happen, an employee of the hospital claims that she was raped in the area that's supposed to be secured. No one will ever know. Not the police, not the court, not the security company, not the client. No one will really ever know what happened behind those doors on that particular day. But we have to take the victim's word that it was a forcible rape. And so the man is arrested. She files charges. Police come. The man is taken into custody. He also is an employee of the hospital. She says, yes, I did go back there, but I never wanted it to go this far. Now, guess what happens after the trial is over? That wing of the hospital is all open, patients and everything's in there, and everything's, you know, up and running, and months and almost a year and a half goes by. The trial comes to a close. The man is found guilty. Guess what the employee does now? What's the next step? You ever ask yourself, why do people wait so long to file a lawsuit, especially in a criminal matter, especially where there are other extenuating circumstances? Because they want to find out what's going to happen in the criminal case. They want to find out what's going to happen in the other situation. They want that to play out so they can use that as evidence in their civil trial. I told you about the OJ case. All during the trial, all during the homicide investigation, all during all of that, there was no lawsuit. It wasn't until after the not guilty verdict that the lawsuit was filed. In this case at the hospital, as soon as the suspect was found guilty, the victim filed a lawsuit against the hospital, the administrators, the security officer, and the security company, as well as the suspect who is now in prison. This is actual case law, people. You better listen. You better get this. The security officer was found guilty. The security company was found guilty of contributory negligence. The hospital, not guilty. The hospital documented in their case that they strictly enforced the policy. Other security officers testified they locked the door. They knew about this little rendezvous point, but on their shift, on their watch, they didn't let it happen. It was assumed, or at least suggested, that even the security company owner knew about it and allowed it to be. The security company, no longer in business. Medium-sized company, several hundred employees, many very big clients. You see, in this case, the security company, and the security company alone and its employee was negligent. They contributed to the assault. They contributed to the rape of the woman by leaving the door unlocked. Oh, they didn't rape her. They didn't commit the crime. They didn't help the suspect. Oh, but they did. The minute they didn't lock that door, the minute they didn't secure the door, the minute they didn't follow their directive, their order to keep that area secure, the minute they failed to do their job, they were guilty. A judgment was placed against the security officer who had a home, a wife, family. A judgment was placed against the security company for $16.1 million. $16 million. $16 million. The owner of the security company, the security company itself, and the security officer will never work in the security industry again. They probably are still paying off the judgment. That's contributory negligence. Another case, very similar. Very similar. In a hotel, in a major city, a high-rise hotel. Security officers knew that employees often went to the rooftop during the summer months and springtime and nice sunny days and had smoke breaks and lunch. The rooftop was off limits, 44 stories up. It was off limits. There was a fire door with a breaker bar that prevented anyone from leaving that door unless it's an emergency. Security frequently left the door unlocked. On this particular day, even a regional manager from the hotel chain who was on the property spotted the door open, even went outside to the rooftop, said a few words with the employees about, oh, what a nice day it is, did not make any attempt to have the door secured. Sometime after the employees left the rooftop to go back to work, the door still unlocked. A woman not associated with the hotel in any way, shape, or form made her way to the rooftop, found the door unlocked. She had been distraught. She had been upset. She had been emotional. She had been thinking about harming herself. She didn't know how. She had no gun, no pills, no drugs, no weapons of any type. She had thought about harming herself. And on this particular day, as fate would have it, she found the door to the roof of this high-rise hotel unlocked. And there, on the rooftop, she ended her life by putting one foot in front of the other over the top of the roof that was unprotected, no wall, no fence, nothing that secured the rooftop from even accidentally falling off from it. There she fell, tumbled over floor to floor to floor to floor until she hit the pavement. The hotel, a very large, popular chain, was sued by the family. The security company was sued by the family. The regional manager sued by the company, by the family. the hotel chain eventually terminated the regional manager and sued her too. It was a mess. Everyone sued everyone. The bottom line, contributory negligence on everybody's part. Everybody was responsible. Everybody contributed. Why? They knew that door was supposed to be locked. They knew no one is supposed to be on the roof unless it's an emergency, unless it's a fire escape. That's why they had the breaker bar. That's why they had the breaker bar on the door. Just in case there was an emergency and that was your only escape route out, you could bust that handle of the door, break the door out, you know, it opens up. You all know what I'm talking about. The bar goes across the door. You push on it. The alarm goes off, but it opens up and you get out. That's a fire exit. But many people contributed to the death of the woman. Could she have eventually found a different avenue to commit suicide? Yeah, she probably could have. Could she have jumped in front of a car, stood in front of a train, or found another building someplace to take a fall from? Yeah, she could have, but she didn't. What would have happened if security, if the regional manager, if the employees had done their job and locked the door? They probably would have prevented a death that day. But they didn't. Contributory negligence. Case law. The hospital chain paid. Correction, the hotel chain paid. The hospital paid in their lawsuit. People, you have to understand, if you don't do the right thing, if you don't think about what you're doing, if you're negligent in your duties, there's going to be consequences in the end. If something happens, we talked about the swimming pool at the hotel where the guard was supposed to lock it up at 9 p.m., but he didn't. A couple of people checking into the hotel wanted one last swim, one quick swim. It was so hot. A child fell in and drowned. The hotel, the security company, everybody was sued. There are so many ways that as a private security officer, we can get jammed up. We can be in the middle. We can be in trouble, if not criminally, civilly. We know if we use too much force, we can be arrested or sued. That's why it's so important to understand what excessive force is. It's so important to understand the difference between imminent danger and assumed danger. It's so important to understand what is real and what is just, your mind kind of makes it up as, you know, in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment. Understand what your authority is. Understand what you can and cannot do. Understand what your limits are. We talked so many times about making the call when seconds count. It's important to role play and constantly be training and preparing yourself. I've had a number of emails this week from people asking, how can I avoid being sued? How can I avoid being in trouble? How can I avoid this or that? A couple of things I want to make very important, it's essential, beyond important. A couple of things I want to make clear to you that is very essential. There is no surefire way in this business of protecting yourself from litigation or arrest 100%. But what you can do and what you must do to avoid the pitfalls that await you in this profession is you must train, you must document, you must be prudent and reasonable in your actions. You must follow orders, and in some cases, you might have to question a few things. I'm not supposed to. No, I can't question the boss. If your boss gets upset because you ask him to spell things out for you, you ask him to go over the details a few times too many, you ask him to decipher things, and he gets upset, you're probably working for the wrong person. But let me give you a couple of tips or a couple of insider information here, if you will. I had several emails, one from somebody in Florida and one from somebody in Kentucky. They both basically said the same thing. My boss does not communicate very well. We have no post orders. We have no manuals. The client is basically dictating all of our duties, and they change frequently, sometimes daily, weekly. How am I supposed to protect myself if the client is telling me this, this, and this, and my duties are changing, but he's not issuing a memo, he's not putting it in a post order? How am I supposed to protect myself when it comes time to prove, to document? There are several ways that you can protect yourself in these type of cases. Unfortunately, clients are supposed to go up the chain of command to the security company representative whenever post orders change, the directives, or anything of importance. They're supposed to communicate that with the security company, not the security officer. And the security company is supposed to then go down the chain of command to you with updated post orders, directives, memos, or something that documents what the change of policy, rules, or duties are. If that is not happening on your property, you can do several things to cover your butt. You can document them yourself and have someone else sign off on it, witness it, and keep a record of it. You can include those changes in your daily report. Everybody does a daily report. If you have a guard report, a daily report, include that notation in your report. If the client comes to you and says, don't lock the east gate anymore at 5, instead lock it at 10 p.m. Don't open the west doors to the main lobby until 8 a.m., even though they're supposed to be open at 6. Document that in your guard report, in your daily log. Make an incident report if you must, and always keep a copy of everything for yourself. Everything. Anything you write, keep a copy of it. Start a file with the post name and do a monthly file and just keep a copy. To verify your documentation on a new directive or post order or change of policy, you can also send an email to your field supervisor, your operations manager, or the security company. Even if they don't like emails, too bad. You can send it to them anyways and keep a copy, CC yourself, carbon copy yourself, and keep a copy. That way you have copies, you have proof. If something should happen, they can't come back to you and go, hey, you didn't lock up the West Wing. Hey, because of you, because of what you neglected to do, someone got hurt. I only did what I was told to do. I only followed policy. I only did what the boss, the client, told me. And here's my documentation. Remember that email I sent you on the 5th? Remember that email that I sent you last month? It's right here. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I put it in the daily log right here. See, look, here's my entry. The 5th, 10:15 a.m. He told me thus and so. Right here it is. Look right here, black and white. Sorry, wasn't my fault. Those are ways that you can cover yourself if there is a problem, and unfortunately there is, with communication, with post orders, with directives. That's a way that you can cover yourself. I've also had emails this week about how a lawsuit truly works, because most security personnel do not have money. And as I said in our second segment, truthfully, in most cases, not all, most, lawsuits are settled outside of the court. Most lawsuits are settled before they get to court. If the company has liability insurance or money to pay a settlement, if you're suing for $50,000 and they offer you $20,000, more than likely your attorney is going to take that settlement and split that with you, and the case will never make it to court. Also, in most cases, many cases, the employer absorbs the lawsuit, the litigation, because they do have liability insurance. I'm saying in most cases, but not all cases. You can be held negligent. You can be held contributory negligence. You can be definitely fired from your employment. You can be blackballed in the industry because of something you did improperly. So there's a lot more to it. But I'm going to give you a very quick synopsis or rundown of the civil anatomy of a lawsuit. First of all, a plaintiff or defendant, that's a suer and a suee. The plaintiff is the person who files the lawsuit, and the defendant obviously is the person who's being sued. These days, a lawsuit can be filed for as little as $50. Between $50 and $125, a lawsuit can be filed in any jurisdiction. The complaint is usually filed in the district or circuit court, depending on your jurisdiction. A sheriff, a process server, a constable, or a third party with no interest in the case can serve the papers on you. When you do get served, you have usually a 14-day response. You can respond to the complaint in writing. There's a part where you can fill it out and say, this is why this happened, and I don't feel I'm responsible. I don't feel I'm liable. Whether you're being sued for not paying your credit card or not paying your apartment, your lease, or a medical bill, you have an opportunity to tell the court before you ever get there why you don't think you're responsible or why it happened. Many people do not respond to the complaint when they're served. The court date usually is 10 days after that 14-day period. If the amount that you're being sued for is under $5,000, usually it's handled in small claims court. In small claims court, those are situations like Judge Judy, Judge Mathis, Judge Alex, Judge Joe Brown in Memphis. Those are situations that require no attorney to represent you. They have no jury. It's handled as a bench trial. The judge is the ultimate decision maker, just like on TV. And you have a chance to present your argument, your case, after the plaintiff presents theirs. The judge decides whether or not the plaintiff has met their burden of proof and hands down the judgment. In larger cases, more than $5,000, the case goes before the circuit or superior court, civil division, and in those cases, you do have to usually have an attorney, and there usually is a jury trial because a lot more money is involved. Now, in these cases where you are being sued, the attorney will require a substantial down payment. If you are the plaintiff, you're the person suing, most attorneys will work on a contingency fee, meaning that they will take part of the recovery. Whatever it is you're awarded, they will get part of, usually a third to a half. But in the larger cases, it requires a lot more preparation and expense if you are the defendant. A judgment is an award by the court when you have lost, or if you are the plaintiff, when you've won, a judgment is filed against the defendant. It's entered into the civil court clerk's office public record. I want you to understand, every time a lawsuit's filed and it goes through the whole court process, through the whole judicial process, it's public record. Now, if you settle outside of court and the case never reaches the judge, never reaches the courtroom itself, it is not public record. It does not get entered into public record. In fact, settlements are not public record. After the judgment, we spoke before, earlier, about the writ of execution, which basically allows the sheriff's department or the constable to serve you with the writ of execution, and they can recover the money from your savings or checking account. They can take personal property. The only thing that cannot be levied is welfare benefits, Social Security Administration, SSI, or veterans or unemployment benefits. Those cannot be garnished or leaned or levied in any way. But that could change if the government has their way. As a private security officer who's making barely enough to survive, we don't need this type of action against us. We don't need to have to worry about what's going to happen if I don't do something, if I forget to do something, if I don't do something as well as I should do it. Couple of things to remember. Even if you're sued, it doesn't make you guilty. Even if you get arrested, it doesn't make you guilty. Thank God we live in the United States of America, where you're innocent until proven guilty. That stands true even for the civil process. Innocent until proven guilty. In a criminal trial, beyond a reasonable doubt. In a civil trial, by a preponderance of the evidence. If you're sued, you have a chance to defend yourself. You have a chance to show why you're not guilty, why a judgment should not be entered against you. It is extremely important in our job, in our duties, in the profession that we have, security, law enforcement, whatever it might be, that we do our job according to the way that we've been advised to do it. In the news today, a security officer, a loss prevention agent of Walmart, was terminated in Montana because he pursued a person who broke away after being stopped for shoplifting. That person ran down an elderly door guard, a door greeter, and injured him severely. That security agent was terminated because he violated policy. Could he be sued? Yes, he could be sued by the door greeter because he contributed to the injuries. He knowingly violated the policy of Walmart when he began pursuit of a violent shoplifter. Hey, I don't want nobody to get away. I worked loss prevention in the past. I made a lot of grabs, a lot of apprehensions, hundreds, thousands, actually. I hated when the person got away. I hated when they beat feet across the parking lot. I hated when they jumped in the car before I could get to them and drove down the road. I hated it. And when I got back in the store, I really let people know I hated it. It's like being on the football team and losing the big game. You don't want to lose the big game. You're there to be the winner. You're there to win the game. But if it's against store policy, if it's against your company policy to do this or that, you have to follow it or face the consequences. In the Walmart situation, the loss prevention agent, I know he tried to do things for the best of the company. I know he was chasing the shoplifter, not because it was for his own good, but for the store's own good. I know his heart was in the right place. I would have done the same thing. There's not even one possible inkling that I wouldn't have, because I would have. It's in my blood. It's in my background. I know I would never want a suspect to get away, no matter what. But sometimes, remember, ever heard this? The means doesn't always justify the end. In other words, how you got there doesn't always justify it. So in the case of the shoplifter at Walmart, in the case of the loss prevention agent at Walmart, he would have been better off backing away until police could get there. Instead, he gave flight after the shoplifter. And because of that, the door guard, the door greeter, was injured, an elderly man, by the shoplifter on the way out the door. As long as you follow your policies, as long as you follow procedure, as long as you do what you're supposed to, as what your duty, your job, your directives are, you're in good shape. Document. Here's something else that really irks me about security people and law enforcement. They're lazy. Let's just put it out there. They're lazy. Every day you're on the job, without fail, document everything you do. If you're on a post that requires an hourly round, an hourly patrol, document it. I secured door 12. I shut the light off in office 6. I unplugged the toaster in the first floor lunchroom. Why do you want to do that? Why? What does it matter? Who cares if I unplug the toaster? Let me tell you something, friend. By making that short little documentation in your daily post, you could save yourself and your security company should there be a fire in that lunchroom because the toaster malfunctioned. It wasn't too long ago that a popular brand coffee maker often caught fire by itself. It didn't even have to be on. It just had to be plugged in, and it would automatically begin a fire. By crossing your T's, dotting your I's, and CYA every time you're on duty, it's going to save you from being involved in a negligent or contributory lawsuit. If you know that you're supposed to lock the gate to the parking lot at 6 p.m., be sure you lock it at 6 p.m. and not 10 p.m. at night. Because if you don't lock the gate and somebody gets in through that entrance and they assault an employee, they rob an employee, they kill an employee, guess who's going to be responsible then, Jack? You. Your business, your company. The client's not going to take the heat on that one. The client's not going to settle on that one because you were negligent. You disobeyed your policy. You didn't follow the rules. You didn't do your duties. So if you want to be clean, if you want to be clear, if you want to, you know, not be in the middle, and I want to say something, and I'm not going to be bragging, and I hope you understand that, but in all the years that I've been in the security industry and own my own company with multiple offices, thank God, I've never been sued, nor has my company. Never had a civil action against us Never had. and you know why? It's very clear. When you know the job, when you know what's expected and required of you, when you understand what your limits are, when you understand the rules, when you understand what it is you're supposed to be doing, when you play by the rules, when you follow it, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, you're going to be in the clear. And even if something does happen, even if somebody tries, I've had some people try, but even if they try, they won't get far because you've crossed your T's, dotted your I's, you've documented everything, and you can show otherwise long before the process gets underway. As a private security officer, you can be sued. You can have judgments against you. You can be held responsible. You can be contributory negligence if you don't do what it is you're supposed to. If you're not sure what your duties are, if you're not sure what the post orders are because there aren't any, ask your boss, ask the security company, ask the client representative if you must. I always had a good rapport with the client, always, because I wanted them to know I was there. I had their best interest at heart. I was there to protect them, to help them, to secure them. I wasn't goofing off. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't stealing from them. And they appreciated that every time. So if you don't know what the post orders are, you don't know what your responsibilities are, you don't know what your duties are, your job, you haven't seen any directives, get with your boss, your field supervisor, your manager, somebody with the security company, somebody at the client, and get a clear understanding, write it down, and follow them. Well, I don't got no money anyhow. No, that possibly is true, but a judgment is good for 20 years, and it could be renewed several more times if they can show that you had no assets, but now that you do. That four-wheeler parked out there behind the barn, that pickup truck that you like so much, it could be gone just like that. We need to think about the consequences of our actions. We need to realize that everything we do, there will be some type of consequence, good or bad. We have a very, very complex role in security and law enforcement as a private officer. We have a very detailed, in-depth, ever-widening, ever-challenging position, industry, field in the private security world these days, and it's changing all the time. And as we become more proactive, we will be opened up to more liability issues, and we want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared. I want you to know how to handle the situation before they get out of hand. Culpability, responsibility, liability. Understand what they are. Understand how you can be negligent. Understand how you can be semi-responsible or completely responsible, even when you don't mean to do it, even when it wasn't intentional, the court could still find you guilty of contributory negligence, culpable in the act. That wraps up this seminar, this training. And we're glad that you joined us. We hope that you have a great week. Be blessed and safe in all that you do. And we'll talk to you again right here on the radio.